This fall, fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at MinkyCouture.com.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome to the Boneyard with Steve Robertson. As always, I am your good friend and host, Steve Robertson. I guess I sound a little more like myself, but I've been recording this show in my head since I walked out of Davis Wade Stadium on Saturday. And I'm going to be honest with you, that's among the most deflated times that I have walked out of that stadium in my life. It truly, truly was. It was absolutely gut-wrenching. And I'm a guy to listen. I've been doing this a long time. And I've learned to develop like some thick skin, but that is absolutely one we had no business losing. Now, I'm not going to have a pity party, but we're going to call some things as I see it. I'm going to have some very pointed things to say at times. I'm also going to have some proper context, and there's probably going to be some things you don't like either way. Steve's too soft. Steve's too difficult. Steve's too negative, whatever. But we're going to be honest about what happened last night, in a game we absolutely should not have lost. And there are a few things I want to establish before we get going, okay? Now, the first thing is, yes, we're 4-4. Yes, we are a better team than last year. In fact, we may be a better team than we anticipated. But the damnable misery of the whole thing is we don't have the win-loss total to reflect our progress. And I think that's what you guys are so upset about. Along those lines, too, us being upset at each other is not going to accomplish anything. It's not. I read all this stuff out there. Guys, we're not the enemy. We're all Bulldogs. We're all experiencing the same things. We all want Mississippi State to win. We just may disagree on how to get there. But just because somebody has an opposing view of you doesn't mean they love Mississippi State any less. Like, I read a lot of things out there. Now, some of you guys make it hard. You do. Some of you make it hard. Matter of fact, I'm going to read a couple comments. I'm not going to identify you. I'm not, just because of the fact that I know many of these comments were, I'm going to text right now. I know many of these comments were kind of made in frustration. And I'm frustrated too. I am. I am frustrated. And it's okay to be frustrated. It absolutely is. Everybody feels the same way. It's just some people get diarrhea of the keyboard. So in the Mississippi State Lost and Found Cowbells Facebook group, I'm going to read you some of these. So someone left the cowbell behind, and it's one of our freshmen, it appears, because it's from New Maroon Camp. And here are some of the comments. He tried to throw it in the trash, but missed. They don't want it back. Let's see here. Let me look a little closer here. Surprised there wasn't 60,000 of them. It's getting hard to watch. They don't want it back. And then somebody said, I'm sad to see these negative comments. I was disappointed with the loss as well, but I'll stay loyal to my university. Cowbells are sacred. Don't desecrate them. Amen to you, ma'am. Somebody was trying to throw it away, but you had to go and save it. Probably threw it away. Donate it to Goodwill on Center Street if they'll take it. Yeah, donate it to Goodwill. They probably won't even take it. They're selling for cheap now. They don't work. I would have left my campus too. The whole campus should be thrown away. Cowbell, those players are all a disgrace. Yeah, somebody left that on purpose. Just throw it away. It's not going to be used for the rest of the year anyway. put it in the garbage with the rest of that trash university. Yeah. Yeah. So, we all threw them away after that game. Not really, but I was so mad last night, it's a good thing I wasn't home because my bachelor's degree may have been thrown away or burned. They don't want that cowbell. Frustrated fan threw it down in a fit of rage. I could go on and on and on. But I'm not. So the point that I'm making is I get your frustration, but that's wrong. It's wrong. You're welcome to disagree with me, but it's wrong. I love Mississippi State. I will always love Mississippi State. Sometimes Mississippi State makes me crazy. It does. There are some things we do. Sometimes it really anger me. But I also know this. When I go out there and post those things in a public forum, I'm not helping Mississippi State. I'm not. Not saying you shouldn't be frustrated. Yep, so we should. I'm frustrated too. And one of the things that I think is apparent, and I'm going to preface this by saying, I do think Jeff Lebby is the right guy for the job. I also know that Jeff Lebby's got a lot to learn as a head coach. And we are not doing a good job managing end-of-the-game situations, period. I don't know how anybody could disagree with that. We should have won at Florida. We should have beat Tennessee. We should have beat Texas. We should be 7-1 right now. We should be. And let's just say for one of those two things doesn't work out the way we expect, you know, maybe we're 6-2. But we should at least be bowl eligible right now. We're not. We still got to get two wins to get there. That's a different kind of pain. It's one thing to show up each and every week knowing you're going to lose as we did last year. And that's the thing. Last year we could, you know, assign all of this to a lack of talent. And we had some. But I think in some ways, too, a lack of talent maybe kind of overshadowed the fact that we still got to grow up a little bit as a coaching staff. We do. When you're up 3 scores with less than 13 minutes to go at home, you have to win that game. I'm going to give you guys a couple of examples. And I've never been a football coach. Never. I've been a high school baseball coach. I've been a soccer coach. I've been a basketball coach. I've been a martial arts, taekwondo coach, and have coached on the national level in that respect. But I know a little bit about coaching. I don't know a lot about X's and O's of football. I know some. I know more than most. But I don't know what it is to be a college football coach. I don't know what it means to be a Pee Wee football coach. I don't know that. And I admit that to you. But here is some things that I've learned in my years of coaching. When it gets down to the end, coaching wins and loses games, period. Now, players have to make plays, but there are times a coach basically has to will a team to victory. And I think that's where Jeff Lebby's struggling. And again, I'm not anti-Jeff Lebby. I think offensively we are elite. I think our game management needs a lot of work. And I think it's both of those things can be true. Jeff Lebby can be a good coach and be the right guy for the job and still have things to learn. You know, he's never been a head coach before. And that's one of the things, the risk you run when you hire a first-time coach. There are things that still have to be developed. That's the case for all of us. I'll give you a great example. I'll give you two. I remember my oldest son, Ani, was fighting at the AAU Junior Olympics, black belt division. It's a quarterfinal matchup against an Asian martial artist from the state of Florida. He was from Orlando, Florida, from a great school out there. Very skilled. My kid's very skilled. And at the break, he's up 4-3. He's up 4-3. And if we can somehow maintain that lead or build upon that lead in the second round, and you only get 2 1-minute rounds to show the world who you are and what you're about. At the break, and my son will be embarrassed that I tell you this, and I don't care, he learned from it. He's hyperventilating at the break because he's winning, and we both know he's the better fighter. And he looks at me and he goes, I can't do it. I can't do it. I can't do it. I can't do it. And I commend him even to this day for being able to articulate his feelings. Because how many other people just would be scared to say it and then believe it? And that happens a lot. And I knew as his coach, not just his dad, but his coach, I had to step in. And I said, number one, yes, you can. Yes, you. He wanted to quit. He wanted to quit at the break, 1 minute away from earning a spot on the medal stand at the AAU Junior Olympics. And I said, here's what we're going to do. He's down. He's going to come out and be aggressive. Right out of the gate, his coach is telling him, you got to get that point back. You got to get even. So we're going to trap him. You're going to go to the corner. You're going to drop your hands like you're tired. When you do, he's going to throw a back leg round kick. When that happens, you're going to throw a jump spin round kick. And then you're going to be up 3 points because you're going to kick him right in the head. So we go to the corner. We drop our hands. And he's still not convinced, but he's listening to me. He may not have had faith in himself, but he had faith in me. And lo and behold, it played out just like I said. And he hits a jump spin round kick that hits that kid right in the face. Nearly knocked him out. And as this kid is just kind of wavering on his feet, next thing you know, my kid is chasing him and stalking him and pumping his fist. All of a sudden, victory is within reach. He ended up winning that match, I think, 9-4. The last 20 seconds of the round, his coach and his fans were saying, just stay away from him. Just stay away from him. We had a chance to compete for a national championship. We didn't win it. We brought home a bronze medal from the AAU Junior Olympics. And my son became a different person that day. I remind you, too, when we played Notre Dame in the women's national championship game, do you remember what Vic Schaefer said? I always told him, if you can get me to 2 minutes, I'll get you home, and I didn't get him home. And Vic blamed it on himself. Now, Vic didn't miss any shots. Vic didn't fail to pull down a rebound. But Vic understands that late in ball games, coaching wins and loses games. There are times you simply can't just trust the players. Sometimes you have to direct the players. Okay, here's what we're going to do. And I think that's where we're lacking a little bit. Let's thank our friends at Bulldog Burger Company, longtime sponsors of the show. I ate Harvey's today and love eating Harvey's and really end of the Eat With Us group restaurants. But the Bulldog Burger Company has been there when we've needed them in times of celebration and in times of despair. You can go have a great quality meal with your friends or family before or after ball games. Completely up to you. You can do it midweek too. Bulldog Burger Company has 3 great locations to serve you. University Drive in Stark Vegas, Gloucester Street there in Tupelo, Lake Harbor Drive in the Ridge and Flowood area. Have the spring rolls as your appetizer. They'll make you and everybody around you better looking. Yeah, it's true. Get that chocolate shake to go. You can ride that ride home with a smile. Find a hamburger that's your favorite. Maybe that becomes like the drawing card. It's like most restaurants, when I pull up, I know exactly what I'm going to get because there's just certain items that keep calling me back. And so find your own favorites. If you're a newbie to Bulldog Burger Company, try the Bulldog Burger. You can't go wrong. Like if all you ate were Bulldog Burgers the rest of your life, you'd live a great life. I like to branch out and expand my horizons a little bit, and I advise you to do the same. Maybe have the Pimentology, add bacon, maybe perhaps the Smokehouse. Yeah, find your own favorites and get that chocolate shake to go. You can ride that ride home with a smile. Bulldog Burger Company, the place where people go to meet. M-E-A-T. Okay, we're going to break it down. We've got a lot to say. All right, so for the first time in a while, we don't score in the first drive. We get the opening kickoff. And I even thought about this. As much as they had struggled on offense, maybe we should go on defense first. Because you know the pressure's on them. And part of coaching is about exerting pressure. You're always, whether you know it or not as a coach, you are always exuding pressure. Sometimes you're putting pressure on your team, but ideally you want to put pressure on their team. And I thought this would be a great example right here. Let's just kind of show them that we're prepared and put the pressure on Arch Manning early. And then maybe we get a three and out, get the ball around midfield. But instead, we take the ball. And again, Jeff's got to do it the way he wants to do it. So touchback here, first and 10 from our 25, and right away we're behind the sticks. Yeah, loss of one. And I don't know why we thought we could run between the guards. Nobody else has been able to do that against Texas, but we tried it. Second 11, both off the left side. And again, a place I think we could make some damage here is off the tackles. We get 8 yards here, makes it a manageable third and three. And then we try to check it down basically across the middle to Davin Booth, and it's broken up. And then some of our fans begin to boo. It's like every time that Blake threw an incompletion early in this ball game, our fans begin to boo. Now, I'm going to be careful how I say this. That's not helpful to anybody. It's not helpful to Blake Shapen. It's not helpful to Mississippi State or his teammates, the program, Jeff Lebby, Zach Selman, me, you, anybody. You think about what happened in Florida, right? Everybody's like, hey, they were all chanting, fire Billy now. They didn't boo those kids, though. You look last night, if you watch that A&M, Texas A&M, LSU game, they're chanting, fire Kelly now. But they didn't boo those kids. And so I just kind of point that out as a reference. I mean, it's your life, you can do what you want to, but it's not good for the program. And there should not be division between us and our players. Shouldn't be. And you know what? What's interesting about that, too, people are like, yeah, well, he tweeted out, keep that same effing energy. Wasn't even directed at you. Wasn't. We get a punt off here, 47 yards. Ryan Niblett gets a 16-yard return here. One of the better returns he had on the night. We knew that he's electric and probably the most elite punt returner in the country. And it sets him up at the 37. And then Arch Manning swings it out right. Really just kind of a ball control, get in a rhythm type pass, just to kind of settle him down. And then we miss like two tackles. And Ryan Wingo, who is exceptionally talented, takes it for 60 yards down to the state three. And then Arch Manning off the left side makes it a touchdown. So they're basically just, it's not like he threw a bomb here. They're just trying to get their quarterback settled and into the game. And then we don't make a couple tackles, and it's a 7-0 game in favor of Texas. Only the second time this year Texas has scored on the first drive of the game. The only other time was Sam Houston State. Bulldogs get it back, and again, it's another three and out. And we knew this Texas defense was elite. Some of us, including myself, thought this may be a game that ended up in the teens. We give it to Booth off the right side for 5, go up the middle for 2, makes it a 3rd and 3, and then we're incomplete to Seydou out there. I don't think that was going to get anywhere anyway, even if he catches it. It's debatable. He's a big physical guy, and he did make an impact in this game. Then we get the 58-yard punt. Great job here. And in addition to that, Texas is penalized half a distance to the goal for an illegal block in the back. So 58 yards off the foot of Ethan Pulliam. Directional punt there. Really good job. So Texas gets it at their 5. Now we have a chance to flip the field, and we do. Great job by your defense here. Wisner up the middle for 4, and then on 2nd and 6, they go back to him. And now it's 3rd and 2. They attempt to swing it out there, and then Kedrick Bingley-Jones tips it. Ball's incomplete. Students explode. Bulldogs with a great chance here to get the ball out near midfield, and punt is fair caught at our 40. We'll take it. We'll take it. Put together a decent drive here, but still some things we did to kind of shoot ourselves in the foot. We're incomplete to Sam West here. Anthony Hill Jr. in Shapen's face. 2nd and 10, we take a shot down the field to Anthony Evans. I like it. You know, make them defend every blade of grass. The field judge completely blows the call. It is one of the more obvious pass interference penalties that you'll ever see. And the field judge doesn't even get the flag out of his pocket. He's bailed out by the back judge. And that's the second time this year we've seen that, where the field judge, the play is right in front of him, and he didn't want to make a call. It's incompetence, man. It's ridiculous. Stop telling me it means all means more when you keep trotting these clowns out there that can't make that call. 1st and 10 at the Texas 45. Gaten off the left side for just 1. Kind of dancing around a little bit, too. We need him to just kind of hit the hole hard. And granted, Texas is really good up front. 2nd and 9, we get it out to Seydou, who gets 15 yards here. And we felt like Seydou would be a factor in this ball game because of their pass rush. And the fact on the checkdowns, he's a mismatch. First and 10 at their 29, gate into the middle for nothing. And then we try to get it out to Anthony Evans, and it's incomplete. And on third and 10, it's incomplete to Brennan Thompson. Trey Moore breaks it up there. Fourth and 10, we attempt a field goal. They block the field goal. That's very deflating. But your Bulldog defense picked up the offense here. Great series here for the defense. First and 10 from their 29, C.J. Baxter, who we expected to play a little bit, he did. Up the middle for just one. Then Arch Manning tries to get it out there to Ryan Wingo, who drops it. Makes it third and 9, and then Arch Manning sacked by former Texas Longhorn Darian Gallette for a loss of 10 yards. And then a bad punt. They shank it just 33 yards, out of bounds at the state 47. You got to take advantage. We do. Blake Chapin again out to Seydoux for 10. You're on the move here across midfield at the Texas 43. Boothen off the right side for 10. We found some success running behind Albert Reese. First and 10 from their 33. We get it out to Anthony Evans, and then he gets loose for 20, hurdles a man, and is down at the Texas 13-yard line. Booth up the middle, no gain. Second 10, Booth up the middle, no gain. And on third and 10, when you think we're going to have to just kick a field goal, instead we find Sam West. And if you recall, Sam West was initially going to the other side of the formation. He's redirected by Chapin. We get it to Big Sam. He rumbles in for the touchdown. Extra point is good. The game is now tied. Great, 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 great third down play. Bulldog defense makes it stand up again. Again. First and 10 from the 25. They get it out to DeAndre Moore, who has...
This fall... Fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at MinkyCouture.com.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
A dozen yards. Tony Mitchell with the stop there. First and 10. It's a false start on them, which back to DeAndre Moore. Made it first and 15. Now they're behind the sticks. They get it out to Wisner for just next to nothing. And the Bulldogs are all over it. Jerron Manning ate this thing up. Little check down play there. Ends up being a 3-yard loss. Second and 18. It's complete to Jack Endress for a 1-yard loss. Malik Sela blows that up. What a good player he's been for us too. Third and 19, they decide to try to get it out to Wingo, and it's incomplete. And I tell you this, there was a bust on this play, and we're very fortunate because it would have been easily been a first down. But it's a drop by Wingo. Fourth and 19, the punt is away for 44 yards. Now, this is a scenario here that I didn't like, and we talked about it in postgame. For those people that say we never ask any difficult questions in postgame, I'm not just there for the hot dog. Bulldogs take over at our 28. Chapin gets flushed and pushes ahead for 3 yards. We give it to Booth, which gives us 6. Now it's a manageable 3rd and 1. We run Booth, and we get nothing. And I asked Jeff Lebby in postgame, what's the thought process here? He goes, well, we thought we had a good look on 3rd and 1. We don't execute. Came back and ran the same play. And it's the same result. And we give it to him at their 37. You know, 4th and 1. And, again, here we go, right? Here we go. And my thing is, your defense is playing well, other than that first drive where you couldn't make a couple tackles. You played really well. And I get trust in your defense, but you're kind of like, you got to make the football play here, right? You got a chance to flip the field here. We didn't do that. And because of the fact we give them the short field, they take full advantage. First and 10 from our 37, Baxter up the middle for 10. They go back to Baxter for 5 on first and 10 from our 27, makes it 2nd and 5. Wisner then off the right side for 2, makes it 3rd and 3. They help us a little bit here. They do. False start. Then on 3rd and 8, Arch Manning completed DeAndre Moore, who gets 14 yards. That runs out the quarter. But you start thinking about this, too. Like, you're already kicking yourself a little bit. It's like, you know, dude, we can't do this, right? You can't do this. All right, 1st and 10 from the state 11, first play of the second quarter. Baxter gets nothing. Then Arch Manning out the left side gets 4, makes it 3rd and 6 from our 7, and then it's an incomplete. They try to get it to Wingo, and it's incomplete. On 4th and 6, they kick a field goal, and we get flagged for a personal foul. It's an undisciplined play. They take the field goal off the board, get 1st and goal at the 3. Defense can only do so much. And that's what you look at here, right? You felt like that was going to be a win. But instead, they take the field goal off the board, as they should. And on 1st and 3, Baxter at the middle for 2. They wanted to say it was a touchdown. They review it. Said he was down by contact. 2nd and 1, Baxter at the middle again. Jerron Manning, big lick here. State really played well there. And on 3rd and 1, Arch Manning kind of rolls out and tosses it for a touchdown. Extra point is good. So instead of it being a 14-10 Mississippi State lead, my notes are wrong here. Instead of it being a 10-7 Texas lead, it's a 14-7. So again, you give them the short end of the field, and then you hold for a field goal, and then you give it back to them. I know sometimes we got to shoot ourselves in the foot. I don't know why we keep reloading the gun. All right, we elect to run this one out, and there was some earlier we probably should have. This one, I think we just wanted to make a play here, but nevertheless, it's returned 16 yards to the state 17. 1st and 10 from our 17, and fortunately the Bulldogs put together a really good drive here. Gaten off the right side for 2, and on 2nd and 8, we're across the middle, complete to Anthony Evans, who gets loose for a 26-yard gain out to the state 45. 1st and 10 from there, Shapen off the left side for 12 yards. 1st and 10 now from the Texas 43, Booth up the middle for 2. You're not going to make a living run up the middle. I know you got to do it to keep them honest. Occasionally, we did it too much in my estimation. 2nd and 8, we get it out to Anthony Evans. 5 yards makes it a manageable 3rd and 3, and then Booth moves the sticks here. 1st and 10 from their 31, get it out to Brennan Thompson. Caught at the 14-yard line, 24-yard gain. And now it's 1st and goal from the Texas 7. Incomplete to Brennan Thompson. They got a little pressure there. 2nd and 7, Booth up the middle for 6, down to the Texas 1. And then on 3rd and 1, we're incomplete to Anthony Evans. And we bring in Camario, and you kind of felt like he would throw it here. He did. He almost threw it a little bit short there. Bounces off a Texas defender and into the hands of Seydou Traore for a touchdown. And if I'm calling this from the Texas side, I'm saying that should have been a pick. And you know what? Probably right. Extra point's good, but the game is now tied. Need your Bulldog defense to get a stop here. They do. On 1st and 10 from their 25, Arch Manning gets it out to Ryan Nilbert for just 2 yards. We did a really good job playing Cloud last night. They get it to Ryan Nedlett, and then he stacked up for a 2-yard loss. Malik Sela again with a big play. Makes it 3rd and 10. Looks like we're going to get off the field. Arch Manning gets flushed and runs for 15 yards. Makes it 1st and 10 from their 40. Wisner up the middle for 6. And on 2nd and 4, they get it out to DeAndre Moore. And again, Jerron Manning played NFL-quality football all over it. Sticks him for a 1-yard loss. Thought the Bulldogs did a good job defending the perimeter there. 3rd and 5, Manning out to Emmett Mosley, and it's incomplete. Jaywin Smith bringing the pressure there. 47-yard punt. I thought we probably should have let this one bounce. We fair catch it at the 8. Don't do much on the subsequent drive. Shape and complete to Brennan Thompson, who gets 12 yards here to move the sticks out to the 20. You think even if we have to punt, we're punting, with a little room to spare here. 1st and 10, incomplete to Devin Booth. 2nd and 10, and Booth had a couple drops too. 2nd and 10, we're incomplete to Brennan Thompson. Again, Anthony Hill continuously in the Bulldog backfield. 3rd and 10, we try to get it out to Booth again, and it's incomplete. Worst punt of the night from Pulliam, who has been really good for us, just 38 yards to the Texas 42. But I think some of that, too, was probably by design, right? We didn't want Niblett to beat us. More on that later. First play of the drive, Kelly Jones. I don't know why people continue to test Kelly Jones. And listen, I know it was tipped up, but beginning of the year, Kelly Jones is getting all these national accolades for his grades, and people are like, yeah, they hadn't played anybody. Well, we've played somebody now, and they continued to test him last night, and it just didn't work out. So Kelly picks it, returns it 25 yards to the Texas 40. For a second, I thought he might get loose there. Like they've been able to finish through this drive, but at least we're able to kind of to get an advantage here. On first and 10 from their 40, Booth up the middle for 8. Second and 2, Booth gets a 1 yard gain, makes it 3rd and 1, and then Booth gets loose for 22. First and goal from the 9, Booth up the middle for 4. Second and 5, Chapin is sacked for a loss of 6, makes it 3rd and 11. We try to get it out to Xavier Gate, and he catches it well short of the end zone, but it is now down 4th and goal at the 6. Really wanted to put this ball in the end zone. But we get the field goal out of it, and now the Bulldogs have the lead 17-14. And again, you're calling on your Bulldog defense to get you a stop, because with them getting the ball coming out of the break, you didn't want them to go 2-for-1. And actually, defensively, we've kind of managed these situations at the end of half pretty well. This is another one. First and 10 from their 25. Contravion Wisner is stacked up for a 6-yard loss. The ball is actually fumbled. Texas gets back on it. Second and 16. I mean, it's like nightmare-type scenario for them. They get it out to DeAndre Moore for just 7 yards. We burn a timeout here. Makes it 3rd and 9, and then Arch Manning is sacked. Nick Mitchell and Jerry Bledsoe, great job, right? 4th and 16, we take the timeout there, and we force the punt. We get it at our 40, and you're thinking, we at least get a field goal here. We feel pretty good about that, but we'd love the touchdown. Well, we get that. 1st and 10 from their 40, Chapin is flushed and gets 3 yards. 2nd and 7, we get it out to Aiden Williams, who is emerging as Mississippi State's third option at wide receiver. 1st down, 11-yard gain. We go right back to Aiden Williams for 7. And on 2nd and 3, we get it at Seydou, who gets 15 yards. And again, Seydou, good ball game for him. Now it's 1st and 10 at their 24 with under a minute to go. Chapin off the right side for just 1. We have to go quickly. And on 2nd and 9, we take a shot. We get it to Brennan Thompson for the touchdown. Extra point is good. And you guys, like me, are thinking this is an absolute best-case scenario here. We have a 2-score lead going into the break. Texas gets the ball back here with just 38 seconds to go. You think they're just going to take a knee and get to the half. Well, they don't. They get it out to Jack Endress for 12. And you think they're probably thinking field goal, too. I mean, Shipley's really good. 1st and 10. They get out to Wisner for 5 yards and then burn a timeout. 2nd and 5 from the Texas 42. Back out to Wisner, but this time it's a huge loss. 9-yard loss on the play. 3rd and 14. They take a timeout. And you think here, let's just take, take the knee. But no. They decide to take another shot at Kelly Jones. Ryan Wingo, Kelly Jones paired up 1-on-1. Kelly is with him stride for stride, reaches inside, bats it down. Makes it a 4th down, 55-yard punt to the State 12. It runs out to half. So right now, we're all feeling great about life. We were. We'll take this time as your second half recap is brought to you by Close with Blair. Blair Chandler is my friend, your friend, our collective friend in the mortgage industry. Blair gets things done. Blair woke up this morning feeling like you and I do because he's Bulldog through and through. I like to keep business in the family whenever we can, but you know what? I don't think you should do business with Blair just because he's a Bulldog. It's because he's got 25 years of experience in a very complicated industry, and he can help you get to the closing table when so many others can't. Give him a call or text today at 601-500-2344. Again, 601-500-2344. Save his number in your phone as Mortgage Guy. You may forget his name. You won't forget this ad, and Blair will be the guy that can help you. Whether you're looking for your first home, your next home, or your retirement home, Blair Chandler, the only name to know in mortgage loan origination, works in Priority One Mortgage, licensed to practice in multiple states, and we've had several Boneyard listeners that have closed loans with him. I'd encourage you to do the same. All right, 3rd quarter, And you start thinking, just like I do, if we can get a stop here, we got a chance to put this game away. Well, we get the stop. We do, sort of. Texas puts together a good drive here. Wisner up the middle for four. Makes it a second and six from their 29. They get it out to Wingo, but no gain. Diego Brumfield, nice play there. On third and six, they get it back out to Moore. This time 9 yards. Nick Mitchell on the tackle. But it's first and 10 at their 38. Wisner up the middle for just one. Zachary Tillman, who had to sit out the first half, right back on the field and makes two early plays, including your tackle here. On second and 9, Arch Manning is complete to Ryan Wingo, and he gets loose 47 yards down to the state 14. Kelly Jones runs him down there. Wingo was actually paired up on a safety. Jones came from the backside. First and 10 from the 14. Wisner off the right side for four. And on second and 6, Manning is sacked for a loss. Trevion Williams with the honors. Third and 7, Manning throws to the end zone. Has to hurry the throw there because Malik Sela's all over him. Sets up a 29-yard field goal, and they miss it. And you start thinking, this is just simply our night. And again, another chance for us here to gain a little more separation, because you feel like three scores in a game like this, you ought to be in good shape. That's what you think. You'd be wrong. First and 10 from our 20. Booth off the left side for 11. We try to get it out to Aiden Williams. It's incomplete. And on second 10, they're offsides, which makes it a second and 5. Booth then up the middle for nothing. And on third and 5, Shapen gets flushed, gets 4 yards. We're trying to say it's first down. It's not. We elect to punt here, which is the right play. This is the football play. And Pulliam does a great job here. And great job by the coverage unit. Dwight Lewis, the transfer, makes the tackle. And no return here. Nippert is tackled immediately at the Texas 12. So Bulldog defense in a pretty good position here. And they have a chance to kind of give us the ball back in some advantageous field position. Well, they do their part. First and 10, Baxter up the middle for 3. Back to him for 5. Makes it a 3rd-and-2 play. And then we break it up. Deontay Anderson kind of gets a paw up there, knocks the ball down. It's a 48-yard punt. Evans Fair catches it into 32. And here we go again thinking, you know what, we got a chance to put this game away. Got to show some patience because all the pressure is on them, right? We don't have to do anything silly because our defense is playing well and we have a 2-score lead midway through the third quarter. We don't need to do anything that comes back to bite us in the hindquarters. And sometimes we do that. All right, first and 10 from our 32. Shapen is incomplete to Anthony Evans. They actually flag us for an eligible downfield on Cannon Boone. Makes it first and 15. So, again, negative play. We're behind the sticks. Get it out to Aiden Williams. He gets loose for 18 yards to the state 45. And now I'm thinking we're fixing to go put this thing away. First and 10 from our 45, we're incomplete to Evans, and we get it out to Ricky Johnson, just 3 yards on the play, and on third and 7, Shapen is flushed and fights ahead for 5. We elect to go for this thing. And again, what's the football play? Okay, yes, it's 4th-and-2. It is. It's 4th-and-2. However, you're up 2 scores. You have a chance to pin them back deep. Worst case scenario, you get a touchback, right? And then you know, you don't give Nibble a chance to hurt you. Well, we end up getting sacked and lose 10 yards here. They went zero coverage and brought the house and got home. Now, Bulldog defense in a bad situation again. Texas starts their drive at the state 43. But your Bulldog defense says, you know what? No, it's not going to work. They get it out to Emmett Mosley just for 7. No, 2nd-and-3. Wisner off the right side for 1. Brandon Jennings with a nice play there. Makes it 3rd-and-2. And then Red Hibbler and Darian Gallette get home again. It's a sack of 8 yards. They force the punt. And so even though we go for it on 4th down there, it doesn't come back to bite us. It could have. It didn't. So we get a stop there. We force the punt, get the touchback. And then here we go. Another opportunity to make this a 3-score game. Well, that's what we do. And we made some big plays on this one. Booth off the right side for 3. Makes it 2nd-and-7. And then Shapen a sack for a loss of 6. So it's 3rd-and-13. And I couldn't wait to talk about this play. Jeff Labby's been beat up a lot. Some of it's warranted. Some of it's just frustration, right? our play design here was absolutely outstanding. Absolutely outstanding. We have a bunch formation to the right. Three wide receivers to the right. We come out. We pump that way. Seydou Traore comes across and is the lead blocker. And we just kind of swing it out to Booth. And now he's in space. The safety has to immediately respect that pump fake left. Gets out of position. Booth gets loose. We convert the first down. That's winning football right there. Because how many times would you think, well, let's just kind of run the draw, run a screen, and then we'll punt. This is a great play design, a great play call by Labby, great execution by your Bulldog offense. Get 21 yards on a play. Now it's first and 10 at our 38. Then we get it out to Aiden Williams, who is then again loose for 33 yards. On top of that, they're flagged for personal foul. Tack on 15 more. Now it's first and 10 from their 15. Seydou gets it out to Chapin gets it out to Seydou for 11 yards. Now it's first and goal at the 4. Chapin off the right side for nothing. Offsides for them, makes it second and goal from the 2. Booth up the middle, loses 2. And then we find Brennan Thompson for the touchdown. Great play. Good job by Chapin to find him. Good job for Thompson to get open. Good protection. And now we're thinking, this is our night. This is it. We're finally going to close one of these things out. We're going to have win number 5. We'll be 5-2. Get our first SEC win. Snap that streak. I guess 5-3. Extra point's good. And then Ferry kicks off, and they get a 15-yard return. And Joseph Head down there to make a stop because they're just trying to get Nibbled involved to make a play. And Joseph Head with the tackle. It's 31-14. Texas takes over with 20 seconds to go in the third quarter. Manning is complete out to Mosley for 15 yards. And then Baxter runs off the right side for just 1. Calvin Dinkins on the tackle. I share that because right now I think we were going to be just kind of so ready to go. You know what I mean? It's like fourth quarter, I thought the crowd would kind of take over. And give Texas some credit for making a game of this. So second and 9, Manning complete to Wisner. It's a 1-yard loss. Makes it 3rd and 10, a chance for us to get off the field. And then they get loose. They get Wingo paired up on the safety. He beats Manning to the inside. Long play, 62 yards down to the state 3. And I thought things got a little silly down here. They called back-to-back PIs. I thought the first one was bad. I thought the second one was worse. But there was some contact. I'm not going to sit here and say it was just a phantom call. I think especially that second one, there's nothing to be had there. So first and goal from the 1. They end up giving a false start. It's kind of like ball don't lie, right? Now first and 6, they get it to Parker Livingston for the touchdown. Extra point is good. Now it's a 31-21 game. And I felt like all of you. I was like, you know what? We can't let this happen. We can't let it happen. We got to answer. Well, we do. All right, first and 10 from our 25. First and 10 from our 20. First and 10 from our 25. We get it out to Seydou, who gets loose for 8. Then on second and 2, we get it to Anthony Evans, who moves the sticks 5 yards. And on first and 10, a little backyard football here. Chapin gets flushed and is about to take off. And just before he crosses the line, he sees Devon Booth and just kind of shovels it, just kind of flips it his way. Booth gets to the outside, 62 yards, and it was incredible the speed that he had once he had the corner. There was nobody going to catch him from behind. And again, we're thinking, this is our night. We will not be denied. Extra point is good. Bulldogs up 38-21 with under 13 minutes to play. What could go wrong? All right, first and 10 from their 25. They get it out to Jack Andrus for 8. You know, second and two, they're incomplete to Wisner. Third and two, a chance for us to get off the field. And they don't convert. Isaac Smith, Jerron Manning combine on the tackle. They're 1 yard short. They got to go for it on fourth down. A chance for us again to get off the field, and we should have been off. Tremendous amount of pressure on Manning, and he just throws it kind of on a wing and a prayer, mostly a prayer, and it's long and incomplete. However, I didn't like the call, but I'm biased. They call roughing the passer, but I got to think in that situation, we got to have a little more discipline. I understand the passion of the game. You're trying to close it out. But up three scores right here, if we just let that ball fall incomplete, we're having a different conversation today. That extends the drive. And again, that's two times. This basically caught this two discipline penalties cost us 11 points in the game. Gave Texas plenty of opportunity here. All right, so after that, it's first and 10 from their 49. Wisner off the left for five. Second and five, they're incomplete to Wisner. Third and five, they get it down to him, 10 yards and a first down. First and 10 from our 36. They get it out to Wingo for 15. Nice corner route there. Now, first and 10 from our 21, incomplete to Wingo. And on second and 10, they take a shot and find Mosley, 21 yards for the touchdown. So you start thinking, okay, it was a three-score game. It's still a two-score game. We're home. The clock is our friend. We just got to manage this. Take our time. Maybe pick up a couple first downs. Because the pressure is on them, right? The pressure is on them. The pressure's not on us. We can handle this. We're at home. We're up two scores. We got about 60,000 people ringing cowbells. They're doing their part to help us. Keep the pressure on them. We give it to Booth off the left side for one. Makes a second nine. Back to pass. We get sacked and there's holding. They take the play as they should. Makes it third and 12 and then we're sacked again. My question is, and I get you want to go win the football game. And granted, the clock ran anyway. But why are we not running the football here? You know, sometimes you got to say whoa. You don't always say sick 'em. Sometimes, like we talked about, sometimes as a coach, you got to say, you know what, hey, I know that we're an up-tempo offense. We're used to going fast. And that's one of the things that happens sometimes with up-tempo offenses. You're not comfortable going slow. I think we tried to do too much here. And again, I've got the gift of hindsight. Of course, you get a pass off and you score and make it 45-28. It's a different day. Ethan Pulliam, great job here. 54-yard punt. Nibbett just 9 yards. And Dwight Lewis again on the tackle. But give Texas credit. They put together another drive. First and 10 from their 39. Incomplete to Ryan Wingo. And again, Kelway Jones. You keep testing him, and at some point, he's going to burn you. Second 10, across the middle to Jack Andrews for just six. Third and four, a chance to get off the field. And they complete a pass to DeAndre Moore to move the sticks and gain 12 yards to our 43. Wisner then off the right side for nine. Second one, they throw a P.I., and it could have been. But they also flagged them for holding, so it's offsetting. Second one, it's incomplete. Darren Gillette breaks it up, makes it third and one. Again, a chance to get off the field. But instead, Wisner catches the ball for 15 yards to move the sticks. Now first and 10 in the red zone. Incomplete. Try to take a shot there. And on second and 10, they get it to Parker Livingstone again. 14 yards makes it first and goal at the state five. Manning is in incomplete. Isaac Smith with a great PBU there. Second five, Manning is sacked. Jerry Bledsoe, former Texas Longhorn. You know, he had a little something to play for. Third and eight, Manning's in incomplete. We forced a field goal here. It's good. But now it's a one-score game. But there's 4:08 to go. And again, I'm thinking, momentum may be slipping away from us a little bit here, but the pressure's still on them. You got a fan base hungry to win. You got a fan base that stayed. You got a fan base that's remained engaged. It wants to see you celebrate with a happy locker room. Let's go make some things happen. Well, first and 10 from our 13, for some reason we decided to run this thing out. And I completely disagree with that. I think of all times you take it, you take the fair catch here. You take the touchback because if you get one first down, you've got the opportunity to pin them inside there on 20 with not a lot of time left. And hopefully you can eat up some of these timeouts. It's the game management thing we're talking about. You take the 25. You just take it. First and 10 from our 13. We give it to Booth up the middle for 4. And on second and 6, we get it to Thompson. And, man, it's so close here. 5 yards. And he was short. He was. But, man, you think, man, what a difference a yard makes, right? 3rd and 1, we call timeout. We let it run down. But it's so crazy for me to think about this. The drive starts at 4:08. We've already run 2 plays. And both of them kept the clock moving. But we've only spent about just over a minute worth, I guess a minute 16 of this. 3rd and 1, we bring in Camario. And listen, I get it. You start thinking, if we can't get a yard, we probably don't deserve to win. 3rd and 1, we rush Camario. We don't get it. It gets nothing. It's 4th and 1. You got to punt. And Pulliam, great job here. And one can argue maybe he outkicked the coverage. But if I'm Cliff Odom, and I'm not, and I don't know what he told Ethan Pulliam, but I'm going to say, Ethan, listen, this is the most dangerous punt returner in the country. There's about 2 minutes left in this game. We're going to angle this thing toward the sideline, and we're going to kick it out of bounds. As far down the field as we can, but I don't want him returning this. Kick it out of bounds. And even if it goes out of bounds around there, 35, that's a good job. We get a 57-yard punt, and then Niblett gets loose. We miss a tackle, and the rest of it was Church. 79 yards to the house. And at this point, I felt like we're going to lose this game. That's how I felt. I don't know how you felt. Extra point was good. And then on the ensuing kick, we elect to fair catch that one. So, again, we get the ball there with 4:08. We get it back with a minute 47 in a tie ball game. But still a chance to win the game. Game-winning field goal, game-winning touchdown. You got a chance. 1st and 10. From 25. Booth up the middle for 4. And on 2nd and 6, we get it out to Devin Booth for just 2. 3rd and 4, it's a possession play, but we get it Thompson for 8. 1st and 10 from 39, you start thinking, okay, we got a chance here. Yeah, we get it out 15 yards across midfield to the Texas 46. Then we're incomplete. We take a little bit of a shot there. Makes a 2nd and 10. Chapin gets flushed up the middle for 4 to the Texas 42. 3rd and 6, we got to make a play here. You got to make a play to give Kyle Ferry a chance. Well, we don't. We get sacked for an 8-yard loss, and they've been zero coverage in these possession plays a lot. I think you got to go hot there. But nevertheless, Chapin fumbles on the play but recovers, thank goodness. We take a timeout with 13 seconds to go, and I'm thinking to myself here, I don't know what we're doing. Or we don't. Don't know what we're doing. I would have just let the clock run, but that's just me. Because you're not gonna go for that, right? You're not. Because if you get sacked again, the ball's on the other side of the 50, and Texas has time to operate. And a great kicker. We end up taking a delay of the game and punt, and I give Nathan Tice a little some credit here. 54 yards down to the Texas 1, and I often thought, you know, hey. Fumbled snap here, push up the middle. Maybe we get a walk-off safety. But instead, Arch Manning just kind of pushes ahead under center for the safety. It runs it out. And, you know, second time this year we go to overtime, and we win the toss and let it go on defense as we should. Arch Manning runs for 13 yards and then gets knocked out of the game. We don't know the update on him. He got beat up a lot. State hit him a lot. And that's been the case with their beat-up offensive line. Lost their right guard last night during the game, too. Now, 1st and 10, from the 12, and you think, cold quarterback, they're going to hand it off. Here they do, and somehow get 7 yards. Then there is an illegal snap that backs them up to not 2nd and 8. Matthew Caldwell walks in there cold, and you got to know they're going to throw it here. You got to know. Originally, they call it incomplete. I thought on review, he was in. It looked like maybe he hadn't completely secured the catch, but he has his hands around the ball. I would have called it a touchdown. It is. Extra points, good. And now State down a touchdown. I'm beginning to think if we score, do we go for 2? 1st and 10. Thompson, if we throw this ball, and maybe I've got my notes mixed up here, but I believe it's the first down play. If we throw this ball on target, it's a touchdown. It's incomplete. 2nd and 10, we're incomplete again to Brennan Thompson. Makes it a 3rd and 10. You know you're in 4-down territory. You're thinking, I got to get something to convert here. But instead, you know, we throw it towards Seydou and Colin Simmons, who didn't do a whole lot last night, gets a quarterback hurry. And on 4th and 10, we get a false start, which is horse hockey. And then on 4th and 15, we get another false start. Now it's 4th and 20. And we didn't even get a pass off. We end up getting sacked for a 31-yard loss. Football is fumbled. Game's over. Doesn't matter if we fumbled. The game's over. We lost. It's not about how close we played it. It's not about how well we played. We played a win. We didn't win. Simple as that. And again, you're just like me. It's like, that's what makes it so frustrating. And give Texas a little bit of credit, but a lot of this was about us. Things we did or didn't do. So looking at the numbers, Blake Shapen, 26 of 42 for 381 yards, 4 touchdowns. He was sacked 7 times. Yeah, 7 times. And we had a handful of drops. So Blake Shapen's not why we lost last night. Now, can he play better? Absolutely. But when a quarterback throws for 381 yards and 4 touchdowns, and you got a 3-score lead in the fourth quarter, it's not on your quarterback. Davin Booth, 24 carries for 99 yards. And that was really the extent of our running game. Booth also 3 grabs for 85 yards. The big one, the 62-yard touchdown. Brennan Thompson, 6 for 76 and a pair of touchdowns against his former team. Anthony Evans, 5 of 71. Aiden Williams, 4 of 69. Nice. Good to see him kind of move up there. Sidney Treor, 6 for 60. Sam West, his first collegiate touchdown, and I believe it was his 2nd catch. As a collegiate player. Jelani McDonald led Texas with 14 tackles. Anthony Hill with 3.5 TFLs, part of a 10-tackle night for him. But big night for the Texas pass rush. Jerron Manning, Bulldog safety, led State with 14 tackles. Nick Mitchell with 7. Darian Gillette, his best night as a Bulldog. And some of that's because of, Zachary was out for the first half, but Gillette played well. Malik Sealy with 5 tackles, Isaac Smith with 4, Brian Lanier with 4. Tony Mitchell played a good bit too there at the safety position. But, that's the ballgame. And it's so interesting kind of looking back. You know, it's so great how your defense played in the early going. But you look at the final 4 possessions of this game, and Texas scored 3 touchdowns and a field goal. And so a lot of people kind of want to pin this on a defense. It's a team loss. But at the end of the day, and I say it like I said before, coaching has to get you home. I mean, it's incredible to think you've got a 3-score lead at home in the fourth quarter. I don't care who the opponent is. You got to manage the game. You got to find a way to get those guys home. It's as simple as that. And we didn't. All right, time for today's top 10 list. Yeah, that's right. Brought to you by Kalito Guitars. Yeah, you need to invest in a new instrument or perhaps a first instrument or perhaps the next instrument. Yeah, they specialize in stringed instruments. It's your guitar shop, right? Owned and operated by Mississippi State fans through and through. They're also guitar players. It's not just a hobby for them. It's a passion. They're going to give you incredible service before, during, and after the sale. Incredible selection. You're going to be amazed at what's available through this guitar shop based out of Lake Jackson, Texas. Visit CalidoGuitars.com. That's C-A-L-I-D-O guitars.com. And you're going to find guitars for beginners, intermediate, experts, and even professionals. It's that kind of shop, right? It's not just some guys that went and got some knockoff gear and threw it out there and called themselves a guitar shop. Professional grade equipment available at a discount to you because you listened to this show. So whether you're in Lake Jackson, Texas, or in the area, you want to swing by their showroom, you can do that. If you want to call on the phone or you want to order online, use promo code BSR. You know it well. That gets you a 10% discount. Yeah. That gets you no shipping. That gets you no sales tax unless you live in the state of Texas. And they're going to make a 5% donation to the Bulldog Excellence Fund. And so maybe you've got some other online providers that aren't Mississippi State folks that aren't going to give you the same level of discount. And they're also too not going to give you the same level of service. And how many times have you bought something online and things are not exactly perfect and you got to talk to a bot, you can't get a real person on the phone? No worries. No worries. Our folks at Kalita Guitars, who are Mississippi State folks, will talk you through any issues you may have. And they're going to make sure that your instrument is set up correctly before it even leaves their showroom. So whether you need gig bags, cases, strings, cables, anything you need guitar-related, and really string instrument-related, you can find it at KalitoGuitars.com. Be sure and check it out today. Okay, today's top 10 list. 10 songs about pain, because it's painful to lose. And I'm not going to sit here and be silly about this. It sucks to lose, man. It feels so good to win, but man, it sucks to lose, especially when you feel like you lost because of your own fault. It's one thing to get beat. It's another thing to lose. Does that make sense? You play a better team. They come out there and outplay you. So you know what? They're just a better team. I don't think Texas is better than us. We blew it. And that's what makes it so excruciating. So here we go. We'll go quickly because we've got a lot of ground to cover. Top 10 songs about pain. I wanted to start with something aggressive. We do. It's Of Mice and Men's Pain. Pain from Of Mice and Men. Number 9, a little bit different. Three Doors Down. Shout out to those guys. Brad, praying for you. It's Used to the Pain. Mississippi State fans maybe can say that. I don't want to be self-loathing, but some truth in that. Number 8, cool band from a few years back. Maybe you're unfamiliar. If you like this modern rock sound, they're a band for you. It's Palisades, a great track called Erase the Pain. Number 7, 3 Days Grace. You know this song well if you know SiriusXM Octane in the old Adam Gauthier days. It's Pain. Can't get enough pain. Can't live without pain. Number 6, a song that many people of my generation know, a former number 1 for the Police. It's The King of Pain. Number 5, a suggestion for you. A band that I saw at the Lander Center in South Haven as part of the Carnival of Madness event. It's Chevelle's Send the Pain Below. My wife loves that song. It's okay with me, but she loves it. Number 4, we could all use a little bit of this. It's Judas Priest. It was the big comeback with Rob Halford. It's Pain Killer. One of the more aggressive songs in the catalog, too. Number 3, shout out to my friends. It's Faster Pussycat's House of Pain. When I was incarcerated, I wrote the lyrics to this song down and sent them to my dad. Sure did. Number 2. This is a song from an album that I kind of slept on for a while. I like Bon Jovi. I do. And then all of a sudden, people kind of hate on them, and you're like, well, yeah, I don't know. Bon Jovi just announced plans to tour the country and the world in 2026. Maybe you get your tickets. But it's Something for the Pain. Great, great song. And maybe one you don't know as well. But number 1, there's a reason you keep coming back. It's true. You keep buying tickets. You keep buying merch. You keep hoping for something big to happen. It's because, according to Alter Bridge, you're addicted to pain. Yeah. But the reality of it is, it's not always going to be this way. And we're close. I mean, you hear that all the time, but it's like you guys can see it. Coaches have said that in the past. We're close when they get beat 21 points. It's boiling down to like a play or two the last few ball games. And that, again, the hope of winning carries you up until that play, and you're like, oh my gosh. Like, I had somebody ask me Friday night, we're going to beat Texas. I said, I will be shocked if we lose. Well, I was shocked. And when Ryan Neblett returned that punt for a touchdown, I just felt certain we were going to lose. And it's because it would have changed so much, man. It would have changed so much. And what I worry about sometimes is it kind of becoming a self-fulfilling prophecy, like, here we go again. You know, and fourth quarters. And I asked Jeff Levy about that last night. You know, he said, it's togetherness. But I don't think he was just talking about the team. I think he was talking about me and you too. You know, we need to be united behind the great maroon banner. I don't expect the coaching change this year. Been a lot in the league. I think, again, this would be the worst year possible for us to make a coaching change. I think our rivals are going to have to make a coaching change with all that's going on in the nation. And we'll get to that shortly. But we got to stick together. We do. Even if we don't agree, we got to stick together for the sake of Mississippi State. If you have ideas for the top 10 list, reach out, let us know. I had a couple people hit me up on Twitter and said, can we get a pain list for Monday? Well, you got it, okay? Very receptive to your ideas most of the time, and I thought it was a little bit apropos, but I don't ever want to come across as a self-loathing Mississippi State guy. There's enough people out there that are tortured with what they do when it comes to Mississippi State. I'm not that guy. I know that I've got one of the coolest jobs in the world. I get to cover the team that I grew up cheering for my entire life. I get to ask our coaches and players questions. I don't ever take that for granted. But yeah, reach out to Roy on X at Dogmatic67, DAWGMATIC67. Find our great list on Spotify or that same handle. By the time many of you listen to this, Roy and I hopefully will have secured tickets to go see Iron Maiden next year. Pre-sale. I joined the Iron Maiden fan club so we could get part of the pre-sale. And nevertheless, that's the hope, is that we can get great tickets and go see Iron Maiden. I think we're going to end up going to one of the shows that has, hopefully, Megadeth and Anthrax. So it'll be a guy's trip for sure. And looking forward to it. Absolutely looking forward to it. But again, I hope you guys are well, and you can find me on all forms of social media at Scout Steve R. All right, next segment of the show brought to you by Campus Bookmart, a Starkvillian institution. We love Campus Bookmart, and why? Because they have the things we want. We want more Mississippi State merch. We want that quarter zip. We want those new pendants. We want the decorative items for around the office, the home, the bedroom, whatever. And you can find exactly what you want at Campus Bookmart. Stop by and see them the next time you're in Starkville. You'll be glad you did. They'll welcome you with a smile on their faces and perhaps a hell state as you leave. If you can't make it to town, or perhaps game day is a difficult shopping day for you, visit them on the World Wide Web, courtesy of Al Gore's internet at campusbookmart.net. And by being a loyal Boneyard listener, we'll give you a phrase that pays, and that is BSR. That stands for Beautiful Steve Robertson. That entitles you to free shipping on all orders over $75, any order less than 75 bones. Absolutely incomplete. Graduation is coming up soon. Again, let me kind of stomp for the diploma frames. It is a very thoughtful and timeless gift, because how many of those are you going to buy in your life, right? So you can be the preferred aunt, uncle, or grandparent by buying that diploma frame for your Mississippi State graduate, and you will see that diploma proudly displayed in their home or office in the frame that you bought. What a great idea. I'm so glad I thought of it. And Mom, Christmas is coming up. It is now less than 2 months before Christmas. Simplify your life. Go ahead and make some of those purchases now online and take advantage of that free shipping. But also, too, you can be the mom that's a little more organized at Christmas. I know it's fun at the end, but there's no point stressing yourself out. You can be the mom that's put together. Campus Bookmart makes it so simple for you to buy Christmas gifts for all the Bulldogs in your life. All right, let's take a look back. Wild weekend in the SEC. And big news out of Baton Rouge. I got home and I watched that second half of that A&M-LSU game. I don't know that I've ever seen an LSU team quit like that. They absolutely quit. It was a 35-0 second half until Michael Van Buren got in the game and threw a touchdown pass late. Really nice drive by Michael Van Buren. Of course, the game had already been decided. But A&M, really not showing any signs of slowing down. And I know some were thinking, hey, Brian Kelly had only lost one game at night at LSU. What was he, 20-1? They got destroyed. destroyed. Marcel Reed with a good game, 12 of 21, 202 yards, a couple touchdowns, also ran for over 100 yards. That's the thing with Marcel. Starting to get healthy. Now, all of a sudden, A&M's defense maybe giving up a few points here and there, but man, this A&M offense really starting to roll. Defense carried him early on. Now the offense is catching up. Brian Kelly fired today. When the governor of Louisiana gets involved, things are going to happen, right? I don't know what your thoughts are about that, but man, it's crazy. I think LSU is the best job open. You know, for some time we talked about Penn State, Blue Blood, great job. Florida comes open. It's like it's Bloody Sunday every Sunday. It used to all happen, you know, the Sunday after a regular season, but things have changed. And a lot of it's because of the timing of the portal, but also, too, everybody needs every dollar they can get. The last thing you need is fans to stop coming to games and buying concessions and things of that nature. And so teams are making moves. They're finding the money. You know, the money's always there if you got the right donorship. And LSU fans are not happy. And what's crazy, LSU was still ranked in the top 25. 5-3 is the record now. And they still got Alabama coming up. And Alabama, again, not looking perfect as they win that game 29-22. They don't cover against South Carolina. South Carolina just couldn't finish. They had the lead late, 15-14, going to the fourth. And they get outscored 15-7 in the fourth quarter. Trent Simpson, again, pretty big game for him. But give South Carolina's defense a lot of credit. They didn't make it easy on him. 24 of 43, nearly 20 incompletions, 253 yards, a couple touchdowns. And Daniel Hill from Meridian had four receptions for 76 yards. Good story, yeah. Alabama now 7-1, ranked fourth in the country. A lot of people are wondering about this league this year, and I don't know who's great, but Alabama is really good. Texas A&M may be the best team in this conference. Ole Miss, huge win, and I didn't expect them to win, and give the Ole Miss defense a lot of credit. That third quarter, it looked like Oklahoma was going to pull this thing out and just begin to pull away. They began to kind of exert themselves in the running game, and it really looked like Ole Miss was going to be powerless to stop them. And then in the end, Ole Miss goes to the fourth quarter down 26-25, and then ultimately win the game by pitching a shutout in the final quarter and scoring 9 points to win. I don't know what you can say about Ole Miss other than the fact this may be Lane Kiffin's best coaching job ever. And he's done a good job. He's been at Ole Miss. He really has. But you look at it now, going on the road and beating an Oklahoma team that had the number one defense in the country, the number one total defense, number one scoring defense, giving up less than a touchdown a game, and the Rebels put up 34 against them. I don't know how you can look at it any other way. You just have to admit the fact that Ole Miss is in a really good position to make the college football playoff. Had they lost this game, I would say, you know what, they don't have a quality win. Now they do. They do. And when those playoff rankings come out, Ole Miss is going to be projected to make the playoff. Go ahead and brace yourself. Missouri and Vanderbilt. And big news out of Missouri is, you know, the quarterback situation there is awfully interesting now. They're down to, you know, Zollers ends up kind of taking over as Priebold has an ankle injury that is expected to keep him out for a little while. So we'll see how that goes. Zoller is 14 of 23 for 138 yards and a touchdown, and just enough to keep it interesting, but not enough to win. Vanderbilt, your number 10 team in the country, is 7-1, and nobody's even really talking about them. 17-10 winners. They win and cover. And I saw Bart Simmons' picture earlier. Year one against Missouri, and then year five shows the pictures of the stands. Pretty impressive. Happy for our friend. Tennessee all over Kentucky. Tennessee needed a bounce back weekend. They got it, 56-34. Give Kentucky a little credit for making this thing interesting. But Aguilar, 20 of 26, 396 yards and three touchdowns. That'll work. And Braswell, four catches for 138 yards and a score. The Tennessee offense is difficult to stop when they get clicking. Of course, you know all about Texas and Mississippi State. And kind of lost in all this is Blake Shapen, 26 of 42, 381 yards and 4 touchdowns. Ryan Wingo, 5 catches, 184 yards for them. Auburn, big win. I didn't think they'd do it. I know the Arkansas defense has got issues. But give Auburn some credit for kind of getting up off the mat. They played two quarterbacks and elected to go back with Jackson Arnold in the second half. But the story of this defense, the story of the game in the second half is defense. Arkansas wore down. Auburn's picked it up. And the big pick six for Arkansas really gave them, I thought, some separation that you think with their running game they could be able to hold. Not true. It's 21-10 at the break. And if you're an Arkansas fan, you're thinking, hey, with our ability to run the football, surely we'll win this game. They don't. They get outscored 23-3 in the second half. Arkansas does nothing in the second half offensively. Part of that, Taylen Green still nursing a knee injury. And Bobby Petrino first came out and said, well, his inability to run the football hurt us. And then later said, oh, yeah, he was fine. He wasn't fine. He wasn't fine. Not that Bobby Petrino has ever lied to us before. But Taylen Green, 14 of 22 for 268 yards. They really struggled to get the running game going. They're now 2-6 and 0-4 in the SEC. We'll kind of see what happens now. We got to kind of work against that tight end situation there for sure. They like to use those tight ends. That's kind of been a staple of Arkansas over the years. We kind of see what happens. But the reality of it is, wild weekend. And let's take a quick look ahead at next week's schedule. Get our first look at next week. Lines are already out. Our Vanderbilt will travel to Texas. Did you think at the beginning of the year this would be a nationally broadcast game and tickets would be going for over $150 a piece? I'd say no. But Vanderbilt's going to travel to Texas. 7-1 Vanderbilt against 6-2 Texas, who should be probably 4-3. They should have lost to Kentucky and to Mississippi State, but they found a way to win, right? Longhorns favored by 3.5 at home. The over-under is 45. It's going to be interesting. Georgia and Florida, of course, in Jacksonville. Florida had the benefit of the open date. Georgia did too, but Georgia favored by 7.5 in that ball game. And it's interesting, a friend of mine brought up today, we talk about parity in college football. This is where the portal has kind of changed some things. If you're a bad coach, you're going to get exposed in the portal era because the talent differential is not what it once was. And so if you look like Georgia's, they're beginning to feel it a little bit too. Texas, you could tell, beginning to feel it a little bit. I mean, you got a couple Longhorns playing for the Bulldogs that had big games that couldn't get on the field of Texas. So just kind of squirreling away talent, it's not going to work anymore. You're not going to be able to sign guys to keep them away from your competition. So this Georgia team, we'll see what happens. Not just this week, but down the stretch. Mississippi State, of course, at Arkansas. Razorbacks favored by 4.5, which is weird. They're 2-6 and on a 6-game losing streak and favored. Yes, they're at home, but I think a lot of people just think Mississippi State's going to find a way to blow it. We got to find a way to go win this football game. Simple as that. And last year, this was the worst possible matchup for us. If I'm Jeff Lebby, I shouldn't have to say anything. I'll just turn on last year's game and let it play all week long in the football complex. And you can see Arkansas running wild against us with basically a freshman running back. They're going to want to run the football. We're going to have to get some stops. Now, we've played some teams that are supposedly good running games, and we've been able to kind of stand up against them. And with Green a little bit banged up, maybe that's an opportunity for us to go in there and win this SEC game and break this streak. And as I say all year long, you never know what a team's going to look like once you play them. If I told you at the beginning of the year Taylen Green wouldn't be able to run the football against Mississippi State, you'd say, I like our chances, especially if Sam Pittman's already been fired. So it's going to be a toss-up game. It may end up being a shootout. Arkansas is terrible on defense, and we'll talk about that more on Wednesday's show. South Carolina will travel to Ole Miss. You wonder a little bit about a hangover with Ole Miss. Lane Kiffin, of course, done a good job coaching them, kind of avoiding the layover type game. South Carolina obviously has a very talented roster, but they have not played exceptionally well. 3-5, 1-5 in the league. Going to play Ole Miss, number 7 team in the country. And last year I thought, you know, Ole Miss going to Williams-Brice, maybe it'll be an interesting game. It wasn't. It was one of the most boring games of the year. Ole Miss gets up early and just kind of nurses the lead along. And they win, and the South Carolina offense could do nothing in that game. Rebels favored by 13.5 at home. Maybe a tough cover, but you got to feel like Ole Miss is in a great position to win. Oklahoma and Tennessee with the Josh Heupel Bowl. It's going to be in Knoxville this year. Tennessee won that game last year. It wasn't pretty. This one may not be either. How will Oklahoma respond? They have playoff aspirations themselves. Now you've got a second loss, and you have to go on the road against a top 15 opponent. Could be awfully interesting. Does the Oklahoma secondary have what it takes to compete with this Tennessee high-powered offense? I don't know. Oklahoma pass rush is good, so we'll see how things go. Vols favored by 3.5 in that ballgame. Kentucky is at Auburn. And if you're Hugh Freeze, you got to feel a little bit better about life. I still got a chance to get bowl eligible. The thing that I think about, like, and I'm not John Cohen, but if I was, you know, when has Auburn been in a position where the whole thing is just to get bowl eligible, right? Is that enough? You know, I don't think that it is. And I don't know that Hugh Freeze is capable of competing for championships. Kentucky now 2-5. I can tell you this. If Kentucky goes into Jordan-Hare and beats Auburn, you know, John Cohen may have a press conference next Sunday. I don't know that, but that would be a crippling loss ahead of going to Vanderbilt. Then you've got the Mercer game. That's a throw-in win for you. And then you host the Iron Bowl. So this is one you absolutely have if you want to get bowl eligible. But again, Auburn just getting bowl eligible should be a given. And then you've got Coleman banged up with a leg injury. You know, we'll see what happens. You tried a couple things at quarterback. Yeah, you got the win last week, but you still got problems on offense. But the Tigers favored by 10.5 in this game. And all of a sudden, Kentucky's kind of found some offense the last couple of weeks. I mean, I know that the Texas game was a little bit difficult, but they found a way to make some plays. That might be an interesting cover situation. You know, we'll see how things play out. We will. All right, final segment of the show brought to you by the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. The best place to stay in the Golden Triangle when you're bringing a large group to town, and you should. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. You love the Bulldogs, win or lose. It's so much more fun when we're winning. But Starkville is one of your favorite places in the world, and you know that. So come be a part of that. Come enjoy the greater city of Starkville. Come check out your favorite shops, some of your restaurants. Maybe come in the midweek. You may have some vacation time that you need to spend before the end of the year. And you wonder, where are we going to go? Well, you know, why don't we go to Starkville? We can go eat at Harvey's and Bulldog Burger Company and you know, Central Station Grill. And we can go to Campus Bookmart and do a lot of our shopping. Why not just think about that and maybe get everybody together? But whether it's ballgame weekend, whether it's midweek doubleheader, maybe you want to come see the men and the women play. There's a lot of sporting events on the calendar that you need to be a part of. So Google the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. When you do, their Facebook page auto-populates. You can peruse all the pictures of all the amenities available to you and your guests. Full-service kitchen, the wet bar, the back porch area, the fire pit area, 6 bedrooms, 2 soon-to-be 3 baths. You'll be glad you stayed there. Plenty of parking, too. That's something we don't talk about enough. When you're thinking about getting a large group together, you think, where's everybody going to park? Well, you don't have to worry here. It's the old renovated country club out past the clubhouse, out past the Highlands, just 5 minutes away from the Mississippi State campus. Conveniently located. And again, plenty of parking, plenty of room for everybody. Check it out. You'll be glad you did. The Stark Vegas Clubhouse. Okay, let me prepare you for this. It's going to be a huge week in Mississippi State baseball recruiting. And I mean huge, huge week for both the 26 and the 27 classes. Huge. I've already got 3 interviews done of 4 new commitments. The 4th I'll have tomorrow, hopefully, on Monday. Yeah. Matter of fact, when I get done recording this, I'm going to go ahead and transcribe those other interviews. We're going to have those ready and waiting for those young men to make their own announcements on social media. We're not going to scoop them on their big moment. We're going to let them make the post, and if we can make them a graphic, we will. We're going to let them post it, then we'll activate our story, and you'll be able to see why these young men chose Mississippi State Baseball. I've shared with you guys before, I don't remember a time that we have been recruiting at this level. I don't remember a time that we have had a run on the high school recruiting side quite like this. This week is going to absolutely underscore that point. You're going to see it firsthand and foremost. And of course, the first thing everybody's going to say, well, they're going to come to school. Guys, that's the neighborhood in which we live. We recruit the best players in the country, and we do our best to get everybody to come to school. And more times than not, they do. We lose one or two every year. But the reality of it is, when you're recruiting at the level that we are, you're going to have a lot of players that Major League Baseball is interested in. So this is going to be a great week to kind of keep up with JeansPage.com. We don't just aggregate a social media post and then, yeah, we wrote a story. No, we're going to interview the players. We're going to let them tell their story to you about why they chose Mississippi State and how excited they are to be a Diamond Dog. I think that stuff's important. I think you deserve that. I know that Mississippi State baseball deserves it. And I know our subscribers deserve it too. And you should be one. You can come join us at Jeans Page at 30% off. And if you don't want the 30% off, but you want the Paramount Plus membership, just don't use the promo code. And then once you sign up for Jeans Page, then you've got full access to the Paramount Plus platform. You can watch Landman, Tulsa King, all those great movies. So many great things on there. Be sure and check it out. It's a great add-on that other people can't offer. Yeah, it's true. Not to mention, you get the best coverage ever in the history of Mississippi State sports. And we've already booked our rooms for Fayetteville. We'll be there. We are excited to go. Number one, I'm looking forward to seeing my grandchildren. But also, too, we go to every game because we know that you deserve it. We know that Mississippi State deserves it. It's a passion for us. It's not just a job. We'll be there. And then we'll be at Missouri, too. And when Mississippi State makes a bowl game, we'll be there too. Yeah, we're still optimistic that's going to happen. And listen, I get we're running out of games and we're letting people off the hook, but I feel like we're going to get one soon. And then all of a sudden, things begin to kind of change. It's like once you've finally done it, and we did it against Arizona State, but once you snap this SEC losing streak, I think the team is going to relax a little bit. And so I share those things with you because we're not going to quit on you. Okay, and I know many people say, well, you know, Steve, I just can't justify, you know, making a road trip to go see the Bulldogs play right now. We're just not playing well enough. And I get it. I understand it. I can't say I like it, but I understand it. But we're going to be there, and we're going to be your eyes and ears. We'll have full coverage of the game. We'll have post-game coverage, videos, interviews, everything. And, yeah, again, I think State's got a chance. Yeah, I felt like State had a real chance last year, too, against Arkansas. We got absolutely crushed. We're a different team, though. I'm going to be running the spa for a couple days this week and be watching my socials because I'm going to give some people a chance to float for free. The boss will be out of town. And so since she's out of town, I'm going to let some of you guys come float for free. So be watching my social media. We're going to do it. But you got to be able to come this week. I mean, it can't be a situation where you know you get a free float and then you want to come in December. Because when she gets back, she may be upset with me and you both. So I'm just going to let you do it, kind of like when our parents were out of town, we throw a party. She's gone to see the grandkids. And so I'm running the spa Monday through Wednesday. Now, Monday's a half day for us, but I'll send something out on Twitter tomorrow for the few people that get to float for free on Tuesday. And then I'll do something on Facebook Tuesday to give people a chance to float on Wednesday. So, again, that's how it has to be. So you got to be able to come on the day we talk about because I don't want us to get in trouble, right? It's our business. We can do what we want to. But so be looking for that. And if you need more information, be sure and check out TrueRest.com and follow us on all forms of social media with True Rest Float Spa of Starkville. The number is 662-268-7601. I'm going to have you guys kind of text her and let me, you know, so she can kind of keep up with it. But anyway, that's what we're going to do and kind of how life works, you know. But when it's a mom-pop shop, sometimes pop's got to go work. But yeah, we're still going to give you the same quality of service you always get at JeansPage.com too. Also, visit DutyNobleBook.com if you hadn't already. The holidays are coming up. Maybe you need to complete your Steve Robertson collection. You can get signed copies of Flim Flam, Alpha Dog, Starkvillains, Dog Pile, When the Bottom Falls, and The Dude. Yeah, super cool, right? I've written 7 books. It's always funny. People come up and say, hey, I have your book. And I say, which one? And they'll kind of look at me like I'm crazy, you know. And then it's always a different book, you know. It's never just Flim Flam or never just Dogpile or The Dude. But I'm very appreciative of you guys that have been so supportive. But you get signed copies of any of those books at dutynoblebook.com. We can even work in some personalization. I got some book signings coming up pretty soon. I'm not traveling as much these days because baseball and everything else is coming up. And so just trying to be smart about that because we'll be gone a lot. As always, we look forward to covering baseball for you. Can't wait for the season to open. February, Valentine's Day weekend. Yeah, we'll get started then. So wrapped up the show tonight. I thought about kind of finishing it on Monday morning, but I got these baseball stories to write. And so that's what we do. We work, right? And so worked all day today. We got you, I think, a dozen stories over at genespage.com. This will lead your day on Monday. And again, I think it's important we just kind of hold the line a little bit. It's okay to be upset because I'm upset. I'm just not going to get over here and rant, rave. And I'm a Mississippi State guy. I know you are Mississippi State guys and gals. I get it. And we share in this thing together, win, lose, or draw. But again, I just kind of point out to people, just because you handle the frustration differently doesn't mean that you or somebody else loves Mississippi State any more or less. We're all Bulldogs. We're all in this together. Some may be a little bit, closer to it than others. But when people are upset, you got to let them vent. You do. You have to let them vent. And when we lose a ball game, I don't even get on the message board for 12 hours. I give everybody the night to vent because I'm upset too. And I don't want to get into an argument with anybody. I don't want to argue with people on Twitter. And there was somebody, some guy in baseball, right around the Lamonas thing. I just told him, I said, I don't want to argue with our fans on Twitter. I'm not going to do it anymore. And I have it. Because, we're all going to have differences from time to time. But the reality of it is we all want Mississippi State to win. And, there's always a very vocal minority part of the fan base that kind of dominates at times of losses. Because if you're like me, I just want to go lick my wounds, right? I just want to get ready for the next one. But but if they're the only voices that are speaking, they're the only ones that get read and heard. So I encourage you, just kind of stay the course here. And I still believe Jeff Lebby's going to do some good things here. But it would help everybody's case and everybody's feelings. We can get a win here pretty soon and still find a way to get bowl eligible. But that's it, man. We'll see you next time. We'll see you on Wednesday. Probably record Tuesday night. So when you get out Wednesday morning, hopefully your Wednesday show will be available. But the reality of it is that we've all got a life to lead, and we've got a team to cheer for. But until next time, let's all live our lives in a way we make more friends than enemies, and people can see a difference in the way we live.
This fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at minkycouture.com.